This week's episode of the Worn and Wound podcast is brought to you by Timeless Luxury Watches and their new collaboration with Nomos and the National Breast Cancer Foundation. In partnership, they have created two custom Nomos Club campus models to support the work of the foundation, providing help and inspiring hope to those affected by breast cancer. Stay tuned to later in the episode to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Ilya, and joining me on the podcast today is Blake.
Hey.
And Zach.
Hello.
I'm recording from Basel, Switzerland for day two of our Basel World Chronicles podcast.
How the hell is it day two?
I don't know. I'm dying.
Yeah. It's just rough. It's rough.
Yeah. It's funny.
You can't tell the energy is a little different than the last podcast.
Someone needs to cut together the intros to all the Basel podcasts and just listen as they slowly deteriorate.
The third one's just going to be me screaming.
Put it down, Ilya.
We're going to keep this one a little bit shorter, but we're going to cover some of the brands that we saw today. We actually met more brands than the ones that we're going to cover, but you know, some of the things that we saw were sort of projects that were in the works and things that we can't really talk about yet, so no real reason to really get into it here on the podcast. So we are going to start with Sin. So Sin put out a couple of different watches this year. So they brought back an iconic watch in a slightly upsized form. So let's start there. They brought back the 203 Arctis in the form of the 206 Arctis. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of that watch?
I mean, I like the Arctis.
The original one is
I love the concept.
A great watch.
So it's a watch that, you know, if you're unfamiliar, it's like was one of Sin's earlier super tech-packed watches. And it's what it's famous for. Is that it has this really wide temperature range that can work in from like negative 45 to positive 80 Celsius, I believe. So really, really useful.
It would be pretty terrible if it were like super resistant to cold and you could only like go up to 80 degrees Fahrenheit. You'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, right, exactly. So like you can't go to Florida. Yeah. And it has this like icy blue dial and a steel insert bezel. So it had this kind of like Mr. Freeze look. It kind of reminds me of like Arnie's Mr. Freeze a little bit. It was a well-loved watch. It was out for a while. They discontinued it several years ago.
Yeah.
End of story. But then they brought it back. And like, I don't know. I just feel like there is a huge opportunity here to do a lot more with it.
Yeah.
To reinterpret the design. So long as you're making a new watch. Like the Arctis could be any watch. Like, does it have to be this, you know, 7750 layout chronograph? I mean, no, they have other chronographs. Does it have to be a Flieger style chronograph rather than a, you know, a diver style chronograph?
Like, yeah.
I would love to see them just apply the Arctis moniker to something different, something new. Instead, they took out a watch that was already pretty damn big at 41 millimeters and just made it 43 millimeters. It's 17 millimeters tall, so it's totally unwearable for me.
The thing is, it's the 43 feels bigger than 43.
Yeah,
when I put it on my wrist, first of all, it's thick and it's heavy.
Yeah.
So like immediately you feel that on your wrist. But yeah, visually it looks bigger than 43. I've worn 42, 43 millimeter watches with ease, and this one just like this one to me was personally unwearable on my wrist.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, we put my Pelagos on occasionally in the office.
That's it looks fine on
millimeters,
me.
And it looks really often. I'm like, oh, that looks really good.
Yeah,
you should get one. Whatever. So
yeah, I never look at that watch and think, oh man, I can't wear this.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's like something we've seen from other brands in the past too. Just this concept of like making something bigger for the sake of making it bigger because you think that's what people want. But I mean, on the flip side to that is there are very well many people out there who wanted a larger version of that watch. It's like a rugged watch that does rugged things. Like maybe there are people with really big wrists. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of them who are like 43 is perfect. So
no, I mean, that's the thing. Like the reality is that, you know, Sin is a real tool watch brand. It's not like a brand playing at tool watches. That's what they've been known for. They make other pretty large watches. Some of their divers are 47 millimeters. You know, I think they must have a core customer that is looking for these genuine tool qualities. And maybe, you know, big watches really are what they're pursuing. Last year, they released a couple of big watches, two that I don't remember really thinking like really getting either the name of that series. They just felt over too inflated, sort of. So I'm this isn't a watch for me. We're looking at things from more of a trend you know, watch nerd sort of perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, but the watch just really missed for me.
Yeah. To add to what you were saying, last year they told us that they did have a lot of demand for bigger watches from their customers. So, I mean, clearly they're making because there's a market there for it. So,
yeah. I mean, we've heard from other, like, you know, smaller, like, micro brand and small size brands that do tool watches that just, like, the thirst for larger watches is pretty significant.
Yeah, it's still there.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's clearly a market out there for that. So,
then along with the Arctis, they did kind of a non-Arctis version, so just the 206 STSA.
Yeah.
So it's the same case, same thing, sort of. It's not Arctis, so I guess it doesn't have the temperature range.
It doesn't.
And it has a black dial, and it's more subtle. But it's very, very similar. It's probably less expensive.
That one was good looking. Again, just too big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, so they're celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Frankfurt series, and they had a bunch of watches sort of commemorating that. And those were actually kind of neat. I've always kind of had a soft spot for those watches. They're not really something that I would personally buy, just because, like, aesthetically, they're a little bit too clean for me. But anyways, I know that they're, like, a pretty popular line for Sin. And I mean,
more
I
so in Europe than in than the here. States. They don't seem to get, like, the push in the U.S.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of
the Frankfurt is like a finance area of Germany. So these are watches for, like, the finance district. So they're like dress watches essentially, but like high function dress watches. So complicated dress watches.
I think a lot of them have GMTs for, like, tracking multiple time zones. I guess if you're, like, a business person and you
had, like,
do
a
that,
week
or
counter one a few years
which is
ago.
Very specifically a European thing.
The week counter,
yeah.
So the ones they released, and I don't know the model numbers off the top of my head, honestly. One was, so there's a 20th anniversary, solid rose gold, and then an identical steel model, the rose gold being limited, and $17,000, something like that. And it was a 7750 layout chronograph, but with a full calendar, moon phase, and then they alter it so it has a 60-minute counter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice-looking watch. It was big, too. It was very big.
I wonder, I can't recall off the top of my head if the original Frankfurt line series watches are smaller than those. Can't quite remember.
They come in all sizes, I think. Yeah,
there's a bit of a range. But yeah, that was pretty much it from Sin, right?
No, they did the 104.
Oh, right. Yeah, the 104 so with the green dial. Yeah.
The green dial that, you know, the 104 is really popular, and I have to say that green dial is, like, I think you, when we sat down and looked at it, Zach, you were like, oh, this is really surprisingly green. Like, it's a surprising green color.
It's a metallic green.
Yeah.
Which is not well illustrated in the, like, photography we've seen of it. And it's hard to get, granted. But it's not like a metallic green like you've seen before. It is like a chip paint sort of thing. So there's a sparkle quality to it, which I don't recall really seeing on a watch. And, like, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know if it won me over, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put up an Instagram story. Like, I put it up on my wrist trying to get, like, the light. And it, like, it glistens. Like, it's very blingy in a certain way. Again, I think it'll appeal to some people. I don't think it was personally my favorite thing, but, I mean, the 104 seems very popular, so why not?
There was another Franker. There was a blue one
for
the 20th anniversary as well, a GMT with an internal bezel. But, yeah. It kind of passed by us pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, I think, you know, we all remarked this wasn't a fantastic year for Sin.
Yeah. Usually when at least we visit Sin, there's at least one watch that I'm like, damn it, I want that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really get that feeling this year.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
The next meeting that we took, actually Blake and I took, and that was with Orion. So this is Orion's first time at Baselworld.
Mm-hmm.
We got a pretty interesting walkthrough through their entire collection, or at least the stuff that they were showing off this year. Also, shout out to the Epson PR people. They were fantastic, like, really knew their stuff, and it really made the meeting, like, informative for us.
Yeah, it was also interesting because when we were talking to the folks from Epson, they were talking about how a couple years ago when they purchased Orient, they were just, like, looking for more information about, like, the community of people who are collecting those watches, and, like, just through, like, sort of random searching, they found most of their information on Worn and Wound, which is pretty cool because
we've
been writing about Orient for a very long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they came up, they had a lot of interesting, I mean, interesting is maybe the wrong word because it's all familiar if you're, like, an Orient fan, but I think probably the state, like, they had a new larger diver, a new smaller diver in different colors, which are all iterative on the current dive line. They had some new Orient Star stuff. I don't know any of that was terribly notable. Probably the most notable thing is a 36-ish millimeter Bambino.
Mm-hmm. Which that was pretty interesting. Which is pretty nice. I mean, obviously the Bambino has a huge following. Like, I think we've all at some point like either reviewed a Bambino on the website or maybe even owned a Bambino. It's a great dressy watch that is not a lot of money. And I think it's something that goes through a lot of collectors' collections. But I think one of the complaints that the Bambino always has is that it's a touch too big for a dress watch. And this one at 36 being all dial, so it wears a little bit bigger, is kind of a great alternative to that and a great option for people who want like a dressier watch that's appropriately sized. And, you know, they're presenting it sort of as like a unisex watch, maybe more of like a women's watch. But really, you take it off of that bracelet that they have it on, which is kind of thin and tapered, and you put it on a leather strap. And that's a great like man's watch.
Yeah. And I would even say like maybe calling it a women's watch does it a bit of a disservice. Yeah. It's not one of those watches where you have to like, it's too small or it's got weird colorways that you have to kind of have a stretch.
No,
to get
it's
it
very,
to be, it's like very classic. Unisex. Yeah. And I would even say the bracelet. Like, I don't know, I put it on briefly. I have a larger wrist. Like, it wasn't like a crazy thin, delicate bracelet.
I mean, I just prefer dressier watches on leather. I just think it was
better. But it didn't strike me as like a crazy thin bracelet. Like, it just looked like it was what it was. And I think that's the first time they've come on a bracelet.
I think so, yeah. The Bambino's always been a leather watch, right?
Yeah, I'm bracelet, nearly certain.
There's a lot of them now.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm excited about that smaller Bambino. That was even back when I first reviewed it forever ago. It was like, okay, let's do 38, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they went up at one point.
Yeah, like they
42
did.
42 or 43 Bambino, which...
They had the most recent one with the sub-seconds there, and they put it next to the new, like, 36, 37 millimeter one. And, like, the size difference is... It's huge.
But also to Orient's credit, like, they were kind of on that vintage dome... You know, dial or domed
crystal,
you know, track kind of before it became super, super hot.
For sure.
You know? So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And now a word from our sponsor. The National Breast Cancer Foundation Nomos Club Campus is a collaboration between the foundation, Nomos Glassuta, and Timeless Luxury Watches. Two versions are available, in 36 millimeters and 38.5 millimeters, with a portion of each sale going to fund the National Breast Cancer Foundation. The smaller model features a white silver-plated dial, a pink seconds hand, and peak outlines for each numeral. The larger model features a dark blue dial, a pink seconds hand, and light blue minute markers. Each is powered by an alpha hand wound movement, upgraded with the Nomos swing system. Both feature steel case backs with an engraving of the National Breast Cancer Foundation logo, a symbol of life, growth, and hope for the future. As with other club campus models, custom engraving is available on the back of each watch. The price for the National Breast Cancer Foundation models is $1,500 for the 36mm model and $1,650 for the 38.5mm model, which is the same as the original Nomos club campuses. Unlike previous Timeless collaborations with Nomos, the National Breast Cancer Foundation Nomos Club Campus is not a limited edition, but rather a regular production model which is intended to create a continuous contribution to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. To learn more or to purchase one of these special pieces, head to timelessluxwatches.com. That's timelessluxwatches.com.
Cool. So the next meeting that we took, actually, Zach, you went to that one, and that was with Squale. So what's up with them?
So always a favorite, but definitely like an underappreciated brand. At least that's how we feel. You know, Squale's one of these dive watch brands with, I don't know, 50, 60 years of history, something like that. You know, they're one of those brands that should be right up there with Doxa. I think Doxa and them, I think I'd really almost compare them to, even though Doxa is a little bit further ahead in name recognition. Like those old Squale, like Squale made cases for everyone. Squale was a true pioneer in dive watch engineering, and the Squale 50 Atmos is like a recreation of an old watch, but it's super modern. It has modern specs, but it's a recreation of an old watch.
Squale made the case for Blancpain, right?
Yeah, I believe there's some like those Blancpain, what do you call it, the Buns or whatever that were
kind
of, you know, and a lot of other weird ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, they are usually pretty iterative because, I mean, they have their icons and some new dials, new bezels, whatever. There's a handful of that, some bronze stuff. But what stood out to me was this watch called the T183, which really, really surprised me. And like, I think it might be one of the most exciting things I've seen in Basel so far, and definitely one of the things that's taken me most by surprise. So. It's actually that Bund case, which the way to kind of identify this one to me is it has like a flat part of the side.
Yeah.
It is made out of a combination of fiberglass, or the case is made out of a combination of fiberglass and carbon in thin layers that are piled up. And then the case is like milled out of it. And the effect is that the whole thing has horizontal stripes, mm-hmm. and they do contrast in colors. So there was a red and black one, a blue and black one, and then a gray and black one. And like the red and black one and the blue and black one are wild looking.
Right.
But not unappealing and like very Italian, mm-hmm. which I like Milan has all these black and white striped structures, and like, it's part of like the look of Milan. And like, these just reminded me of that. They remind me of being there. And it's like, It's got a little pizzazz, you know, more than you might want to, you know, expect from a diver. But I just think it's exceptionally cool. And then they have ceramic bezels. So that's both a ceramic insert and a ceramic edge. Really nice kind of straightforward dials. Keep an eye out for these. Like, they're going to be like 1200-ish, I think. Mm. They're very cool. Very different. If you're looking for something that is unique, like... that but isn't, I don't know, gross or something, like, yeah. There's a tastefulness to these. They're very cool. Very cool.
Interesting.
Really liked it.
Yeah, I'd love to see those in the metal or
in the not metal.
Yeah. All right, so I think the last brand that we are going to talk about that we met with today is Young Hands.
Good old Young
Hands was great.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff there. So Young Hands is celebrating the 100th anniversary of the School of Bauhaus.
Yeah.
And with that, they released a couple of really interesting watches. Two of them are, well, one of them's a three hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's a chronoscope. And on the case backs, one of the things that they did was they have an open case back, but it's not just a simple open case back. It's actually...
and these are Max Bills, by the way.
These are Max Bills, yeah, right, yeah. Correct. And it's the... it's like a screen printed graphic on the back of like a crystal, right?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be of the actual school, right? So you can see like part of the movement through the printing, and that's supposed to be as if you're like looking through the windows of the school,
exactly.
Right? It's like really one of the coolest case backs I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. No, and Max Bills rarely even have open case backs.
No, they're always closed.
So that unto itself is kind of neat, but they did such a cool job. And then they were just telling us that like the idea behind the kind of the reinterpretation of these watches, they didn't change like anything fundamental to them. They just did coloring.
Yeah.
Was to celebrate what Max Bill himself, who was a student of the Bauhaus, appreciate about the school, yeah. loved about the look of the school. So there was like the red door and the concrete. And so all these things are represented. So the three-hander has a PVD case. Mm-hmm. Which is matte black, but it almost looks like it's not quite black.
It's not black. I think it's sort of supposed to emulate like the concrete of the building almost.
Yeah. Well, then the strap is truly concrete gray. But yeah, it's more of like a gunmetal, and then it has black hands with red fill, and then a red date disc with white print, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be the door.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's weird, but when you see it in person, it totally works.
You know? It's not like, it doesn't feel mismatched at all.
Yeah. And so that's an edition of 1,000.
Yeah.
And then the chronoscope was a smaller edition.
Because it's in white gold.
That's the white gold one, right? Yeah. So that's solid white gold. The prototype we saw was steel, but like, that's pretty cool. That's very cool to have that in white gold. And that was like a much smaller edition, like 100 or so. Yeah, and very cool. I think the deal with that one was the date on that was white still, but with red print.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit more subtle. And then it said underneath Young Hands on the at 9, like Max Bill Bauhaus. Max Bill Bauhaus.
For sure,
Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Another beautiful edition. Yeah. Super cool. Definitely then, the more rarefied one.
And then maybe like the coolest one.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it.
So it was this sort of like package that included a chronoscope. It was the white dial with the Arabic numerals, which they've never presented a white dial chronoscope with Arabic numerals. It's usually reserved for the black models with black printing.
Yeah.
And that's paired with the desk clock where you get that particular arrangement from. So it's a desk clock with a white face and black Arabic numerals, but it's a mechanical desk clock. And it also comes with this big, giant, like, metal key that you use to wind the desk clock in the back. Mm. And on the back of the desk clock is basically a piece of art that relates to Max Bill and the Bauhaus that you sort of pop off, and then you're able to open the clock up and wind it. And it's incredibly cool.
The dial also, what I really liked about it was that, I mean, yeah, like you're saying, they haven't done this one in white, but then they also played around with the tones a little more. Mm-hmm. So the sub dials, the hour, minute, 12, and 6, were like a medium gray. So you had like dark numerals on the outside, medium gray, and then white. And to me, it looked like different densities of like line you would get out of like a pencil if you pushed really hard versus light.
Which, and then the minutes track too on the outside was also a little bit lighter.
Was it? Yeah. Yeah. Such a cool box set. And then there was this gnarly drawing that is from Max Bill did a lot of really beautiful artwork, and a lot of his colors, it's very geometric. Mm-hmm. This was like a mathematical drawing that looks like a spiral with some lines crossing through, and it has something to do with the tangents of these shapes and how they intersect, and they recreated that. So that's on the top of the outer box, but then there's also like a magnetic plate that you could put over the back of the clock to cover up the windable movement. So if you're looking from the front, desk clock, looking from the back, it's a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I wanted to say about the chronoscope too was they also played with the thickness of the type, right?
Yeah.
It was a little bit bolder, a little heavier. And it actually kind of makes watch feel a little bit more playful, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
And honestly, it's probably my favorite version of the chronoscope. Yeah. I wish it wasn't a limited edition.
And I forgot how many there are in the edition. It's not tiny, but it's not a lot. It's a few hundred. And then I think it was, 3,600, maybe 37, 38, because they told us in euros. But if I had $4,000 burning a hole in my pocket right now, that's where I'd spend it.
Yeah.
Like that is, if you're a Max Bill guy, an aficionado or whatever, find it.
That's just go
and
find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Cool. So I think that kind of wraps up our day.
It was a lot longer than that made it sound. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just, like Ilya was saying, there are brands with stuff we can't talk about. Or sometimes we can also catch up with brands where there's nothing really new, but they're here. And
We had a great conversation with RT from Vordic, and we see everything he's done, but he gives us kind of progress reports. We saw some more. So we hadn't seen his DLC coded cases before. And these were, he's doing the milled cases versus the 3D printed cases now. So this is like a true black DLC rather than the sort of like antique really black that's on the 3D printed stuff. So that was great to see, but that's, it's more iterative and whatever. We kind of knew it was coming. And catching up is always good, especially over beers. If possible. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Young Hands for the weirdest swag we've gotten in a while. It was like a gray felt 6-pack caddy, but with 4 beers
and some chocolate and a little travel suitcase tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get people will give you a lot of weird things at booths. I have to say the swag has gone down quite a bit. It's not, which is good. Like we don't really like getting things all the time necessarily. And it's a nice gesture, but we certainly don't need it. And more often than not in the past, it's been sort of like useless stuff or lots of stuff.
The amount of notebooks and pens and
things that you just
like, how many notebooks you need in Basel? One.
Yeah. I honestly, I still have a pile of notebooks on my desk at work from years past. And when I kill one, I get a new one. And it's literally like, it's like a Meistersinger notebook from 2015. But it was definitely the weirdest thing. But we occasionally get things that you very clearly cannot, what am I going to do with, sure, I might drink them, but what are we going to do with between us a dozen beers that we may or may not drink? What are we going to just take them home? We'll leave them at our Airbnb. But you get all kinds of weird, consumable things. It's I can't take this
clearly home. You can tell we don't party very hard.
Yeah. Well, it's too hard.
We're just shotgunning beers in the back of the hall between meetings. It's real cool. Yeah,
it's true. These are glass bottles.
Yeah,
we're just cracking them on the bench and starting fights with other bloggers.
All right, so we have one more day left. What are some of the brands that we're seeing tomorrow?
Are we gonna say it?
The big brand that we never that we never talk about.
Okay, we're going to see Rolex this year.
No. Woo, woo.
Unless we get to the door and they're like, "Oh, sorry, that was a mistake."
We hadn't seen the photos.
Yeah, so naturally we have a meeting with them. The one year people seem underexcited by their stuff, but I'm still very excited for the meeting because, they're not a brand we talk about all the time. But we're in Basel. It's you want to see what's kind of cool. And yeah. I frankly won't handle those watches probably again. Yeah, I won't see a white gold Yachtmaster any other time. So
before we got on the podcast, we were kind of like, yeah, tomorrow's probably going to be pretty quiet, nothing big. But tomorrow's actually huge. So like,
yeah, well, I was just joking. I just didn't want to wear nice clothing tomorrow.
But like, so tomorrow is we're breakfast with Oak and Oscar, Casio, Laco, Nomos, Bulova Citizen, FC, Frederic Constant, Alpina, Bell and Ross, Zenith, and Rolex. I mean, it's a big day.
That's a big day.
That's a big day.
Yeah.
So
my body's ready. Not really.
Just eat more chocolate. You'll be fine.
Actually, I saw Frederic Constant has some interesting watches. So
yeah.
I'm excited for that. And Bulova has some weird watches. So I'm excited for that
too. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the older, like vintage style stuff.
Yeah. Some digital stuff. And some,
yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
All right, so tune back in tomorrow for more Boss World coverage from us.
It'll be the same.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Worn and Wound podcast. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Looking for a new watch? A strap? Don't forget to visit the Wind Up Watch Shop. And of course, head to wornandwound.com daily for news and reviews of great wristwatches. Music tracks Nowhereland and Inspired are by Kevin MacLeod and are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0.